Most of you know that I am a pretty big movie buff. I also enjoy reading. I typically read a lot of theological stuff, though, and I'm trying to get into the habit of reading fun stuff, too. Because, you know, here's the thing about watching movies and reading books. You sort of get sucked into the story, and then you get so pulled in that it's like takes you into a different place, right? Have you ever been like so immersed in a movie, and then it's like you all of a sudden like wake up from a trance or something when you're done watching? And it's like, and I get sucked into watching these series too that are on Prime and Netflix, and right now I'm really stuck on Naked and Afraid for some reason. And lately, I don't know, I mean, these crazy people go in these crazy circumstances and try to survive just on using their survival skills and trying to last for 21 days. Some of them are doing 40 days and some of them are doing 60, and I'm like, this is nuts. But these people have to survive and rely on each other in order to do it. And you get sucked into their world, so to speak, and then you have to snap out of it, right? And then you come back to your own life, and then you're going, man, compared to that, my life ain't nothing. You know, I don't have to deal with all of that. But then other times, you watch stuff in movies, and then you compare your own life to your own circumstances and things, and then sometimes it leaves you feeling even more frustrated. You know, because we want the feel-good about life all the time feeling, right? Like the disciples when they were on the transfiguration story, who were on that mountaintop moment, we want to stay on the mountain. We don't want that feeling to end. We don't want to go back down to regular life. Why are you asking us to do that, Jesus? Why can't we just stay here? And what does Peter say? Let's build a dwelling. Let's stick around. Let's make this last. Right? We don't want those moments to end. We don't. Sometimes you watch the end of the movie and you're going, that's it? It can't end like that. Right? We want it to continue and want it to continue on. And I hate when they end a series and then they all of a sudden just sort of leave the story that's not ended yet. And I'm going, oh no, you cannot stop a series like that. We just want it to continue. And so Jesus in this story today is sort of setting the scene of what is going to happen. And like they did in the Transfiguration story, they are not picking up on what he's putting down. And he is literally telling them, I am going to suffer. I am going to be persecuted. People are going to ridicule me. This is going to be some bad stuff. And what does Peter say? He pulls him aside. Jesus, stop talking your nonsense. What you talking about, Jesus? What? You're not going to go through all that. And what does Jesus do? Get behind me, Satan. Because that's not of God. So what does this story have to tell us? Well, we all know that we don't get out of this world without suffering. We don't tend to live our lives without some sort of pain. And like I talked about last week in the wilderness story, what I love about the wilderness story is that it puts and frames Jesus in the light of humanity. That Jesus went through suffering, loneliness, hunger, anxiety, pain. That he went through all of that helps me to be able to identify with him more intently. But the thing is, though, is that our lives are filled with that stuff. Anxiety, pain, waiting on test results, being angry at siblings or family members, not being able to understand why you can't get your finances in order, why these certain things happen in our lives, and why am I in pain all the time? God, you know, I'm a Christian, God. Those things shouldn't happen to me. I go to church every Sunday. I put my tithe in there. You know, I make sure that I volunteer at church. So why, Lord, are these things happening to me? And we say, woe is me. But the reality is that's part of life. And see, where we get tunnel vision, about all of those things in our lives that draw us from God. We get tunnel vision about our pain. We get tunnel vision about our anxiety, our finances. And then we say, where is God in all of this? Well, here's the thing. God never abandons us. Never. When we sometimes don't feel God near, it's not God turning from us. It's us turning from God. And our tunnel vision, our humanity, wants us to stay there. And guess who else wants you to stay there? And you got to say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, because I don't need that crap. I don't need to worry about that, because I got God right here. And God will walk with you through that pain, through that anxiety, through that frustration, figuring out your finances, working out that issue with your sibling, your family, whatever it is. We are not alone. And so Jesus says, you got to be willing to say, get behind me, Satan. Our problem is that sometimes we don't believe that we possess the strength to do that. And that's our humanity talking. That's not of God, though. God says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to give you the love. And where do you receive that? Right here. The truth and love and God's grace is here. It is in the nourishment that you receive in sacrament when we extend our hands as beggars to receive the gift of grace that is received here. That's what sustains us and gives us that strength to say, get behind me, Satan. It is when we relinquish those things that keep us from seeing God clearly and give it to God. That's what this cross is about here. Tying our burdens, our pain, our anxiety, our frustrations, all to that cross. And sometimes even taking that step seems so trying, so difficult, because we have a tendency to say, I can handle this on my own. I don't need any help. I got this. Lorraine, I can take care of this problem. I don't need your help in doing that. I got it. Joyce, no. I can handle it. I don't need that help. One of the most humbling and beautiful thing about this congregation is that you guys make me look good every day. I don't have to do a lot of things in this congregation because of many of you, and I'm so thankful for that. It was one of the things that drew me to this congregation, so that I don't have to carry the burdens of many things. There's so many things that happen in worship. So many things. And so many hands that are willing and able to do it. So that I'm not running around like a chicken without a head going, who's doing what? And well, sometimes I still do. I'll be honest. Sometimes I still do. I'm like, okay, who's doing this? Who's doing this? Is so-and-so here? And, you know, I still do. But my earnest feeling about this congregation and my love for this congregation is because there's so many hands that are willing to do the heavy lifting. And that's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, is that when we can't do it on our own, we rely on others, right? There are times when I need prayer. Just this morning, somebody was saying to me, I am praying for you. I heard you did something to your back. I am praying for you. I had a back spasm that was horrible this week, and I could not move on Friday morning. Physically could not get out of bed. It was horrific. Did I call anyone? No. Instead, I just grabbed my cane, basically almost crawled to my car to get to my chiropractor. But the minute that others in this church heard about it, I started getting text messages. And this morning, someone said, I'm praying for you. Those little things mean so much. And when we lift up each other, That's what it means to carry the burdens of others, to carry the cross. Because for some in this congregation, you may not be able to physically handle carrying something, but there are others that are right next to you who can. There are many in this congregation who carry a lot of things for our church. Did you know who picks most of the hymns for our worship service and the traditional service? Miss Becky Ball over here. It's not me. Miss Becky and Sid have been picking hymns for this congregation and this service for years. What about who takes care of, making decisions about what we do in this worship service? So that's through the worship commission that's led by Judy. We all make decisions together. It's a part of the body of Christ. And when we lift each other up, are willing to carry each other's burdens, then we do that heavy lifting. When we focus our attention on the cross and do not let Satan speak those negative things into you by saying, you can't do that. You're not fit to do that. You don't possess the strength to do that. All you got to say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That's what Lent is all about. Focusing our attention here and allowing God and acknowledging that you are not alone. That God walks with you through every pain, every anxiety, all of those things. You receive the nourishment through word and sacrament when you are here. And so my prayer for you in this Lenten season is that you acknowledge that you embrace that, and know that you are never walking alone. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the dawn is a golden sun and the sweet silver song of a lark. Hold on through the wind, hold on through the rain. Though your tears be tossed and thrown, walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. The Spirit just put that in my heart. We have to trust that we are never alone. God promises to walk with you. Trust that today. Give your burdens to God so that you can wholly receive the gift of God's grace that He desires for us all. Amen.